Thank you. Let me see here. 40 and what? That's the wrong July 4th speech. Hold on. Well, thank you, everyone, for your support. You know, our republic is tottering. And I know you're all worried about it, what we're going to do about it. You know, but there is a way forward. And one of the ways forward is by looking to our history and looking backward and understanding what these fights are about and keeping us focused on what the battle is really about as opposed to what the politicians tells us they're about. From the Declaration of Independence, these words are probably the most famous words ever written down in English. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It sounds like a prayer, doesn't it? Very solemn. And remember that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That's what it's all about. We have rights given to us by God, and to the degree government is legitimate and their regulations are legitimate, they respect and protect those rights. We don't get rights from the Supreme Court. The court recognizes those rights. We don't get rights from the Constitution. The Constitution recognizes those rights. We don't get rights from Republicans or Democrats or the FDA or Congress. They're all supposed to respect, protect, and advance those rights. And so that leads us to the present day, doesn't it? Is our government doing any of that? Sometimes the court protects our rights. Sometimes presidents protect our rights. Sometimes Congress protects our rights. And in the ordinary course, there's a battle about the extent of that protection between liberals and conservatives. And the challenge we're facing here in this nation, I would submit, is a rising communist attack on those fundamental freedoms understandings that we have as a nation. This isn't an argument over taxes. This isn't an argument over policy, over welfare, over even the size of government. This is a policy about whether we're, this is a fight about whether we're going to be a free people whose God-given rights are protected, or a government ruled by men, where power is the number one outcome sought by the left. So what do we do? Well, we first focus on, I would think, what the left is focused on, what the communists are doing. What are they interested in doing? Well, they're destroying our borders. Maybe we focus on that. They want to destroy our Supreme Court. Maybe we focus on protecting the courts. They want to destroy our First Amendment rights. Every single one of you have had your First Amendment rights suppressed in the last few years. How is it that that has happened? Because when they censor Trump, when they censor Judicial Watch, when they censor me or anyone else they follow, they're denying you access to the information that you have a right to under the First Amendment. They're censoring your speech. This has been the greatest suppression of First Amendment rights in the history of the Republic. Nothing comparable. And when you look at that Declaration of Independence, if there's one thing you do today, is you go back home and you read that declaration, every jot and tittle, all 24 of their complaints about the out-of-control king and parliament, and the usurpations of our rights and our freedoms and our representative government that they fought against. And then you go back and you read more about the Revolutionary War which wasn't one battle. It was a war that raged up and down the East Coast, from Boston to New York to New Jersey, Georgia, the Carolinas, of course, here in Virginia. A war lasting, a hot war lasting, practically speaking, 7-8 years. Tens of thousands of men in battle. That's what they were fighting for. And when you look at the Declaration, and it's really opening with that almost solemn prayer, and recognizing the Declaration occurred a year after the war started. And it wasn't a jihad. It was a plea to their brethren in Britain, and a plea to the Almighty to respect the rights of Americans to live their lives as the Lord intended, with liberty and justice for all. Things are in trouble these days. We have a president who, talk about the Republic is tottering, our president is tottering. But those around him have kind of blown up the sort of basic rule of law, I think, consensus we've had since the beginning of the country. Although the founders weren't all that good on this, they were happy to try to jail their political opponents at times. But never before in modern history have we had a president direct his agencies to target his political opponent. And unfortunately, I'm not being partisan here, I'm just being factual, the Democratic Party has embraced this communist approach to use the tools of government to suppress and jail their political enemies. I mean, when you have Democrats in the Congress suggesting that President Trump be denied Secret Service protection if he's, quote, convicted, they just don't want to jail him. It strongly suggests they want to see him dead. Now, I don't know about you, it's never occurred to me to think of ways to get my political opponents killed. It's never occurred to me, well, we have to stop all of these people from speaking who I don't like to see on Twitter or somewhere else. Suppression is a core leftist value. Violence is a core leftist value. They're not un-American values, they're anti-American values, they're anti-constitutional values. And I'm sorry to tell you this, the election's already been compromised. They held President Trump hostage in New York for 6 weeks, harassing and distracting him from the campaign through illicit prosecutions, unconstitutional prosecutions, as confirmed by the Supreme Court last week. And of course, it's not just Trump. In every battleground state, senior Republican officials, regular activists just like yourself, are facing ruin and jail time for daring to dispute a presidential election, a core First Amendment right. What would our founders think of that type of punishment and that type of approach? And I've seen the viciousness up front, up close. We blew the whistle, Judicial Watch did, on these abuses of Trump. And we were front and center, and the Justice Department hated us for it. And as a result, a few years ago, I got the knock at the door. 2 years ago, from the FBI, giving me a subpoena, then Judicial Watch a subpoena. The FBI agents were nice. They pointed out I had an Amazon package. I think I'm the first American in the history of the Republic to be notified of an Amazon delivery by the FBI. A dubious honor. So I'm the head of the country's largest government watchdog group, hauled in before a grand jury as a witness to have three prosecutors argue with me about electors, the Clinton sock drawer, my tweets, what I ate for lunch with the president. And I was helpfully telling them that the Democrats were planning to blow up the election, but they weren't interested in that. But it shows you the depth of the harassment that they're willing to put citizens through. Now, I'm president of Judicial Watch. We have the resources, thanks to many of you, to fight this and defend us. But what if you're just a regular citizen? Or just even a former government official? They don't have that level of support. It's killer. So when I say the election's been compromised, everyone caught up in this, including the Republican Party, are looking over their shoulder to make sure that the left won't come after them in the next election for daring to dispute it. And so the only question is, given the compromised nature of the election, will the results be of such a nature that people's concerns about those compromise activities by the Biden gang are alleviated? Will the election be accepted? I don't know. Depends what happens. And of course, the long-term fight isn't just about elections and election security. Certainly, Judicial Watch has been trying to clean up the rolls, basic work. The left doesn't want the rolls cleaned up. The left doesn't want voter ID. The left wants election day to be an election month or 2 months. We're in court fighting over whether or not it's lawful to count ballots that arrive for up to 2 weeks after an election, including without a postmark. I tell you, the left doesn't want just dirty elections. That's no election at all. I mean, they want to end elections. So this is the bigger fight. Because an election that takes place over 2 months, that's not an election. It's a rolling survey, and about as reliable. Those are the challenges we face. And of course, we now have had millions of non-citizens enter the country at the invitation of President Biden and his agencies. Again, never before in American history, dare I say in the history of the world, has there been such a migration of people. And of course, an absolute violation of the law. Now, let me tell you this in terms of a point of activism. Unless these people are deported before 2030, they will be counted almost certainly to the benefit of the left and their politicians in states like New York and California. And their being counted in those states will ensure that they will maintain a sufficient number of congressional seats, if not more congressional seats than they otherwise would have gotten. And of course, more influence in the Electoral College, even though those states are losing citizens. So this will be a soft, slow, backdoor way of transforming political power in the United States without one vote by one American citizen. So I don't know what the next election is going to be like. I don't know who the next president is going to be. But unless these folks are removed from the country, Democrats are likely to get, the left are likely to get, my guess is about 25, 26 extra seats in the House after the next census. And of course, the big question now, the news of the day, I know there's been some news this week, right? We have this crisis caused, and I think it's been long standing, by the president's cognitive challenges. And we can laugh and joke about him stumbling and walking around. I mean, heck, every time I forget a word, I think I'm turning into Joe Biden. I'm sure you all think about that too. But I'm sure we all have had family members who've suffered what Joe Biden is suffering. And certainly we should pray for him. But we also should pray for America that our system works so that he is removed from office. And I don't mean in November, I mean now. If that debate didn't prove one thing, if that debate proved anything, I should say, It was that President Biden isn't fit for office. And so there's this terrible corruption with Biden and his family that has compromised our national security. The rule of law helps explain why they want to jail Trump, because they want to distract from the reasons to jail Biden and his family. But there's another awful set of corruption issues associated with his cognitive challenges. It's our self-government. Who's running the country? Again, consent of the governed means that the guy you put into the presidency is the guy calling the shots. Does anyone think that he is competent to call the shots and is actually calling them free and clear? I think Obama's worried he can't even get Joe to do what he wants him to do. So I heard that Biden's going to resign on Monday. Now, you know, is he going to resign on Monday? Maybe, maybe not, but that's what I've heard. Reliable source. I wouldn't be telling you if I didn't think it was a reliable source. But isn't that the corruption issue? That this man, all of a sudden, you know, because obviously he didn't just lose his marbles on Thursday. This man has been able to operate in this town with nary a peep from his cabinet, from his vice president, from from members of Congress, from the media corps. I call it all the DC Borg. We haven't been governed by someone that we've elected effectively for the last several years, it's clear. And I know many people don't like Kamala Harris, and I know people think that it's better that Trump, Biden be on the ballot. That's a political analysis. All I know is you may not like Kamala, but Joe Biden can't be president. He just can't. We can't trust him to have his hand on the button or anywhere near the button. That reminds me of a funny story. You want to hear a funny Trump story? So I met with Trump once. I think it was maybe the first time I met with him. And, you know, I'm sitting in the Oval Office. You have your, it's like any business meeting. You have your chatter about the weather. And he goes, okay, then we get down to business. He goes, hold on a second. And there's a box on the Resolute desk with a red button, a wooden box with a single red button. And he says, hold on a second. And he pushes the red button. And I'm thinking, holy shnikes, he's recording the conversation. I'm like, I don't care, because I'm Judicial Watch. I presume I'm recorded all the time. Next thing, a guy comes out with a Diet Coke. And of course, he saw me looking at it. He goes, oh, you know, a lot of people think this is the nuke button. And I didn't tell him, I thought it was you were just recording it. You know, and before I close, let me just say this about President Trump. And as head of Judicial Watch, I don't endorse or oppose candidates. But there's been no man who has been as victimized, punished in an intolerable fashion in our nation's political life as President Trump. The victim of sedition, who's had his civil rights violated 6 ways to Sunday. He is facing jail from a corrupt party operation up in New York. And yet, to his credit, he keeps a smile on his face and just keeps on plugging along. And so I'm not defending Trump because I like his politics. I'm not defending Trump because I'm a Republican. I'm defending Trump because, as head of Judicial Watch, I see him as a crime victim. And that's what we should be thinking about, a crime victim, frankly, running against the perp. Yep. Assuming that President Biden is going to be the candidate for the Democrats in the next few weeks. So, you know, I hope you understand what the stakes are. And I think there's a way forward. You know, they've told us where their focus is. They want to destroy our children, violate our children, protect our children. They want to take away our First Amendment rights, protect our First Amendment rights. That's where their focus is. And we should demand that Congress not fund these abuses. One of the disappointments over the last 2 years, dare I say it, outrages, is that everything Republicans complain about in the House, they fully funded in the Biden administration. They impeached Meyer Orcas 2 weeks after fully funding his invasion. How does that work? How does that work? And there's always new tests that you can hold them to. So if Kamala Harris becomes the president, well, she selects the vice president, but only upon approval by a majority of the House and the Senate. I don't know. If I were in the House, I'd want to make sure a member of my party from the majority was in the vice presidency. Imagine that. And so I would encourage you to let your members of Congress know that these issues are important. That, yes, it's worth shutting down the government to protect the nation from an invasion. Yes, it's worth shutting down the government to protect a coup, to protect our elections from being hijacked by abusers in the judiciary and in the Justice Department and in prosecutorial office across the country, hijacked by Democrats. It's important that that be done. I mean, you've got to stand up for the First Amendment. You have to stand up for clean elections. You need to stand up for accountability in government. You need to stand up for life. You need to stand up for your children. You need to stand up for your grandchildren. You need to stand up for this country, because our republic is under attack, and the only way those attacks will end when good people like you say no, no, no. And you can be sure Judicial Watch will be standing in the gap with you to protect this republic that was given to us through the blood, sweat, and tears, the sacred honor of our founders. Thank you very much.